Now he raises a question. He says, where's boast in man? If God is saving today by faith in Christ and not by your merit, your works, then where's boasting? Well, what is it that you and I have to crow about? We can't even boast of the fact that we're fundamental. A lot of us do it. We're nothing to glory in. Paul says here, where is boasting? And the answer is this question. It's excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Now follow this. This means the law is here in the first instance, not actually restricted to the Old Testament, but he means the principle of law, any law, anything that you think that you can do. And the second reference, of course, is to the law that excludes the Old Testament law. And it means simply a rule or principle of faith. In other words, God has the human race not on the merit system, but on the basis of where you believe what he has done for us. And therefore, it excludes boasting. In verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without, apart from the works of the law. Now, actually, this is not a conclusion that Paul is coming to or even summing up what he said, but he's giving an explanation of why boasting is excluded. Why? Well, here we have man's justified by faith. That's the basis. And now Paul drives a clincher. In other words, he not only drives the nail in, but he turns it over and clinches it. Listen to him. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. In other words, did God belong to the Jews alone and not also belong to the Gentiles? Paul says, yes, of the Gentiles. Now listen to this. This is a cogent argument. If justification is by the law, then God does belong to the Jews. But if justification is by faith, then he's the God of the Jews and Gentiles. Now notice the logic of this. If the Jew persisted in this position, then there must be two gods, one of the Jews, one of the Gentiles. But the Jew would not allow this. He was a monotheist. That is, he believed in one God, and probably the greatest statement that ever was given to the nation Israel was Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. And that was the clarion message he gave in the pagan world in his day before Christ came. Now, verse 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. In other words, there's only one God. And in the Old Testament, he gave man the law. Man failed, but he didn't save them by keeping the law. It was always by the sacrifice that he brought in faith, pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 31. Paul is not through with his argument. He says now, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now the reference to the law, I think, brings in another meaning of this word. It's not restricted to the Mosaic system here. Neither does it refer to just any law. Rather, it refers to the entire Old Testament revelation. Faith excluded the works of the law. But did it abrogate the entire Old Testament revelation? Of course not. Paul will demonstrate in the next chapter, that is in chapter 4, that's coming up next time, by an Old Testament illustration, two men, Abraham and David, that it did not exclude that because these two men were saved not by law but by faith. To begin with, Abraham was born and lived and died 400 years before the law was given. You could never put Abraham on the basis of the Mosaic law. It wasn't given in his day. God saved him on a different basis, which is by faith. And somebody says, well, then what about David? Well, very honestly, do you think David could have been saved by keeping the law? Of course he couldn't. The Old Testament made it very clear that David broke the law, and yet God accepted him. Well, he did it by faith. What about you and what about me? His question to you and me today, for he has the world shut up to it, what will you do with my son who died for you on the cross? I hope you give the right answer.